Welcome to Run, Build, Grow, the podcast that laces up its running shoes and dives deep into the heartbeat of the communal spirit of running. I'm your host, Andrew Ware, the Runnin' Rev, and I am thrilled to take you on this exhilarating journey where we explore stories that go beyond the pavement. In this episode, I bite in a very good friend of mine, another one, it seems like week after week, but guys, y'all, this is a great conversation that I have with Candace Broaddus. She is a coach up in the Richmond Sports Backers community, helps in their marathon and half marathon training teams, their 10K training teams. They offer this amazing program where they train you just throughout the year. And then during the races, during the big races that they have, during Monument, during Richmond Marathon, all of these races, they have people and these coaches on the course helping you. And the cool thing is, the greatest expression of community, it's not just the people who train with them the whole time, but it is everyone. And so I want to talk to Candace, what this is like for her, how she got going with it, what it means for her, all of these things. So let's dive into this conversation. All right, welcome in today, Candace. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. Doing okay.
Yeah. And joining us from Richmond, Virginia. So we're back a little local again. As I've mentioned, I've been trying to branch out, get different people, but still relying on a lot of those people that I know. So I got Candace on here. She's a big part of the Richmond running community. But before we dive too deeply into that, let's explore it a little bit. So Candace, what is your community and what makes your community awesome?
So my running community, I coach for 3 different training teams. I coach for marathon training team through Sports Backers. I coach for 10K training team also through Sports Backers. And in the winter, I coach for Richmond Road Runners winter marathon and half marathon training team. So those are 3 of my running communities that take up the majority of my year. Other than that, my community is anybody in the town of Ashland who I can run with before the sun comes up.
Yeah, definitely.
Especially as we're hitting these summer months and these nice hot days.
So. Yeah. And listeners who have already listened to the episode with Paisley, you know, she's from Texas and talks about the heat. Just because we don't live that far south in the United States doesn't mean that it's not also just insanely hot. And we also deal with the humidity in a lot of times as
well.
Yeah,
it's not as much the heat. Most days it's the humidity that's going to kill me. It's not the fact that it's 90 degrees. It's the fact that it feels like 102.
Yeah, definitely. And the fact that your sweat will just not go anywhere while you're running.
Oh, it'll go in my eyes.
That's just drip.
Yeah.
I need some windshield wipers.
Running down my face. And then as it's gotten hotter and hotter, the shirts are getting to be tank tops or no shirt. And there's no sleeves to wipe the sweat off of my face.
Yeah, cases. Definitely. So, yeah, I wanted to get Candace on because listeners, you'll remember back when I had Rainey on and back when I had Nakia on and we talked a lot about these Richmond training teams. And really for me, Richmond has always held a special place because they have this special time where people come and they train for these races, they get ready, everything is focused around it. And it's done through a lot of the local community organizers. So whether in Richmond, it's Sports Backers or it's Richmond Roadrunners or it's some of these other little groups that get together, they're helping to train a lot of these runners. And so, Candace, as a coach in a lot of these groups, let's start back at the beginning. And what was the drive to want to get into this sort of run coaching or run support to be able to support runners in their endeavors to do marathons, half marathons, 10Ks, what have you?
So I fell into coaching for run. I fell into run coaching. I joined the Sports Backers marathon training team as a participant. Think it was 2017. I honestly don't remember now because I wanted redemption on Richmond. When I ran it the first time, my time was awful. I had trained with my stepmom. She ended up getting hurt right before the race. So I was literally, I had trained with her for everything. And then race day, I'm out there by myself. Mm. And I kept seeing all these people in these matching shirts. And you know, I get that mindset of I finished the marathon. I was like, I am never doing this again. I hated it. It was awful. And then a couple of years later, it was like, I think I could do better. So I signed up for a marathon training team and I ran as a participant, had a great time, loved it. Get a text message April-ish of the next year with my head coach from my team saying, hey, Heather is stepping down and she recommended you to take her spot. And I was like, I've only ever run Richmond. I've run two marathons ever, last year being the second one. I've only ever been a participant one time in this. Like, what, why? And she was like, you can talk about anything. You can run and you don't have kids or a husband to like make it hard to get here on a weekend. And so I was like, okay. So I kind of fell into it that way and I've stayed. And Richmond loves a training team. So then I got into 10K training team and then I was doing Dopey this past January. And I needed to keep running, through after marathon training team ended with marathon weekend in November last year, I needed to keep running to stay up for Dopey in January. And I knew that Richmond Roadrunners was going to have a winter training team. And, so I hopped in, they needed half coaches. So I hopped on as a half coach just to stay in running. And that's how I got into that. So that's how I've gotten into my three teams as a coach. I've fell into one and then I guess voluntarily jumped into the others. But being able to help runners on race day is really a really fun part of the whole process for marathon training team. We spend 24 weeks running through the city, talking about anything and everything. My co-coaches love to talk about how I grew up on a farm and I will talk about anything from the farm at any point. But being out on race day and seeing every runner that goes by you, being able to say, hey, do you need help? How's it going? To anybody and everybody is a great part of what we do. We as coaches don't get to run Richmond as participants. We get bibs to be on course. We get the swag at the end. But we don't run all 26 miles. We run sections of the course back and forth and then cut through Richmond to get to another section of the course to run back and forth. We joke that we don't run down the hill more than once. If I run down the hill, I'm staying at the bottom of the hill. I'm not coming back up that finish line hill. It's really fun to run down. It's not so fun to have to run back up numerous times. So that's why we coach, is to be able to help runners out on the course. And they're not just our runners. If I see anybody who looks like they're struggling, I will, hey, how's it going? Do you need anything? 2 years ago when it was super hot, every coach from marathon training team had a story of helping somebody out on the course that day. And most of them weren't our runners. So,
yeah. And you've gone into a little depth. So why don't, you know, you talked about the length of time, you talk all this stuff for listeners, because not a lot of races do what this sports backer training team does. And a lot of folks might hear, oh, we get bibs, but we only run part of the course. And that might incite some upset and anger from folks who, you know, appreciate the traditionalism of races and stuff like that and think that y'all are trying to bandit all of these races.
We only get it for Richmond.
It really is just for Richmond. And it's a special race. And because of how Richmond is, so can you walk our listeners through what a marathon training, half marathon training cycle looks like as part of this marathon training team and half marathon training team? And then you already talked a little bit about the race, but even what that looks like for you as you're doing it.
So the marathon training team cycle, the Richmond Marathon is typically the second weekend in November, and we start training the first weekend of June. So 24 weeks, every Sunday morning, I will be at Sportsbacker Stadium or the Diamond. They share a parking lot. We use the parking lot. We are there And our head coach, Kerry Parker, has set up a route for us. We have people who are out there with water support for us along the route. So they have SAG set up every 2 to 3 miles. And we will run. My team has about 50 people on it. Mm-hmm. Currently, there's 5 coaches and 50 people. Now, we also have Saturday teams that meet, and some of them are much larger. Chris Mason, who you've had on,
yep.
His team, I think, has just over 200 people right now. And they have 10 or 11 coaches. But yes, Saturday and Sunday mornings for 24 weeks, we are out running around Richmond. As a coach, they ask us to miss no more than 5, I believe, of those 24 weeks. And that includes us running other marathons or other races or family events or travel. Or, I mean, we make a 24-week commitment. And then on race morning, so the race starts at 7. We are downtown somewhere in the 5 o'clock hour. And then we run, most of the coaches will run the first 5. The rest of the coaches will then be dropped off around the course. So anywhere after, I think we start getting dropped off after mile 10. And we are dropped off and we run sections of the course. And then we either run across town. Some of us hop on the little bird scooters, which are helpful. They're all over the city. On those, and we will run other sections of the course. So 24 weeks of race training. And then race day, we're out there for 6-7 hours running the same 2-mile stretch.
And oftentimes getting yourselves a nice little bit of distance in there as well.
I think the most I've done is 23 on race day.
Which is
only a little bit short of a marathon.
Yeah, just a few miles short. And so for a lot of folks, they're coming into this program. I know a lot of folks, they're just recurring people. They're there just about every season. They do it for that communal aspect of getting together. You have the newer folks that come in where it's just like, hey, kind of like you did when you started it. You know, I want to run a marathon, or I've already done a marathon. I want to do a little bit better.
Yeah.
And, you know, you guys offer within this sort of the structure for them to be able to both train to kind of get to where they need to be able to run a marathon, also offering a lot of different resources. And so whether it's conversations with the coach, do you guys put out the just standard stock training plans for them too?
Yeah. So their email, so they have access to our training plan. It's emailed to them and then it's posted on our website. So they get a 24-week training plan. We have typically throughout the year, we have a physical therapist do a presentation via Zoom or via some, in the past it has been in person, but it's also been recorded. So if they can't make it, talk about injury prevention. We do hill workouts, track workouts. We've had a nutritionist come in and talk, do the same thing as the physical therapist. I feel like there's another presentation that we've done. We've done injury prevention, nutritionist. I feel like there's a third one that I'm missing. But we have these resources of hill workouts, track workouts, coaches who have run many, many marathons. I am on my team of 5 coaches. I am the newbie runner with my 8 marathons. So some of my co-coaches are running ultras and 100Ks, and I'm at 26.2 is my max right now. It's gonna and marathon training team does the exact same thing. So they start in August, I believe, and they do the exact same thing. Saturday and Sunday mornings, they're out running all over Richmond. Typically they get put on large portions of the course so that they'll know what they're to expect on race day. We do the same thing where we try to run the course, sections of the course, as much as possible. So people know, okay, this hill is a pain on race day, or this area is great on race day. So That's
yeah. And so really getting these folks experience for what is, you know, their hometown marathon, right? And it's a marathon that has, you know, one of those hometown feels. It's labeled America's friendliest marathon. It also has, you know, a lot of folks who are coming from out of town to come and participate. And then you have these, you know, random, crazy, normally in fluorescent neon colored shirts running around the course, helping folks out. And so throughout the 24,
some of us have backpacks, and that's the thing that people are like, she's running with a backpack. I heard kids say that multiple times, and I'm like, yep, and my backpack is full of snacks
stuff. I've had an MTT coach give me a little package of gummy bears.
And so
what y'all are doing is building this community around helping folks get ready for this big goal race, and making it easy and accessible for folks too, because what they're ending up doing is they're signing up for these marathon training teams. They're getting into Richmond and being able to run Richmond and do all these things. And with that comes this opportunity to form this community around themselves. And so when we talk about coaching, not just from the point of view of, hey, I need to get these folks ready for a race, but you're also coaching people up in how are we supporting one another? Because another thing that you often see is, you know, folks will end up, they'll meet at marathon training team or half marathon training team, and then they form a bond over those 24 weeks, and then they run the race together. And then the coach will catch them on the course. You know, we used to do this with Race Team RVA when you and I were a part of that as well. But, and so how are you going through those 24 weeks? What are some different things that y'all are doing to build that community amongst yourselves? So it's not just 50 people showing up, running miles, but it's something that is also kind of building up that support system around all these different people.
So I guess it really boils down to like us being able to talk about anything and then wanting to actually be around each other. So I will start a conversation while we're running, and what is everybody doing this week? What are your kids have going on? Like what? So then you start to get to know each other, like building that connection of, hey, I know your kids have a baseball game this week. So then next week, like, hey, how did your kid's game go? How did this go? And I mean, when you're running, like this past weekend, we ran 9 miles. We were out for over an hour and 20 minutes of us running together, just chatting, where you're building the relationship of knowing one another and knowing things about each other. And then it's starting to get to the, okay, hey, we live in similar areas, or, hey, we're doing this track workout here. Who wants to come? And then having those like midweek meetup runs where, yeah, we run together for 10 miles on a Sunday, but let's get together for a Wednesday 6 mile run. And it's a catch up of, hey, how's everything been going for the past couple of days? And just wanting to hang out with each other before we start running. I'm the coach who shows up at like, we start at 6:30. I'm rolling in at 6:25. So hanging out before and after the run and building that relation, those relationships of knowing what's going on in everybody's life. And I have a decent memory, which is really helpful, and the ability to talk about anything. So it's helpful to building that relationship. And then I guess having people who want to hang out with each other, want to be around each other, and don't feel the need to sprint away when we start talking about farm stuff or kids' baseball games.
Yeah. And so in all of that, what do you see your role as coach being in that? Is it one, I mean, obviously there is that fostering of community, but is it the one who is helping to take people's mind off of running by talking about farms? Is it one who is supporting folks? Is it one, you know, I think the last time we chatted, you like to just, you're one of those runners and coaches don't care about pace. So you just want to run with people.
Yeah. So I feel like my biggest role is distraction from the monotony of the run. Being able to lead a conversation, being able to fill the empty space. Now, there are times, and I said this to my team this past week, I was like, I will talk about anything and everything while we run. You want to talk about your kid's baseball game? I'll talk about it. You want to talk about history? Sure. You want to talk about chemistry? I'll try. You want to talk about a book you read? I've probably not read it, not going to lie, but I'll talk about it. You want to talk about Celtics Mavs? I'll talk about it. But if you also are just like, Candace, shut up. Okay, I can shut up. Now, I have said that when we're running up a hill, I'm most likely going to be talking about the hill and how this hill is a pain. Or some of my runners last year, because we run a lot of the same routes year to year, I've started learning random history facts about the city of Richmond. And so I'll be like, oh, this is the house where, and then I'll have some like random fact about the city of Richmond, which sometimes I'm right and sometimes I'm wrong, but I say it with enough confidence that they don't know.
And oftentimes that is enough to help people, you know.
Yeah. So my biggest thing is talking. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that there's a lot to be said for coaches and people in the support system as people are getting ready for these races that are there to make those miles seem less daunting. You know, people listening might, you know, if they've ever trained for a marathon, you know that your long run, that big long run, it is 20 miles. And for a lot of folks, it can be a 3, 4, sometimes even 5 hour run for folks.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think that there's often enough credit when we talk about coaches, or even just leaders in our communities who are willing to do a lot of those things where, they're willing to back off maybe what they think they want to do. Like, I don't need to run my normal easy pace here. I want to back off and help you get to that place. And to see the way that it plays out, especially in Richmond, and the way that there's this entire community that comes around to support, you know, again, when Candace is coaching and is doing marathon training team, she is not racing the marathon, but she is still training for a marathon. You know, so it's almost as if you're sacrificing maybe something that you could do in order to help to build that community out. So when you began to get into it and you've continued to do this, what is it about this structure, this program that continues to draw you back in? Because you talk about, you know, you've done Dopey, you've done a lot of these other really awesome races. So it's not like you're hitting your own goals. But I have to imagine for something like Richmond, that for you as a home race, it might be something that you want to draw in. Maybe you still have, you know, some demons that haunt you from Richmond. I don't know. But what is the thing that continues to draw you in to continue to do marathon training team and not to participate in it, to race the race, but to coach in it, to help to make sure others are hitting their goals?
It's the community. It is the accountability that I know that every Sunday morning or Saturday morning, if I needed it, if I had something going on a Sunday and I know or a weekend that I need to go run on Saturday morning, there are going to be hundreds of people at Sportsbackers Stadium. And there's going to be a route that's posted that I can go and follow and have the support, have somebody to talk to, have somebody there going, hey, you're doing great, even if I feel awful. Like I said, when I ran my first marathon, I trained by myself. And I distinctly remember being out on a run and feeling awful and knowing that I still had 3 miles until I got home. Like, if I stopped, I still had to walk 3 miles to get home. There was no way. If I'm out on a Sunday run and I feel awful, I can stop at any one of those water stops and they will give me a ride back to the stadium because they also have to get these coolers back to the stadium. So there is the accountability that people are going to be there and that they're right there in that pain with you. They're right there with you of every step. Hey, how's it going? Hey. So it's, for me, it's not just, hey, I'm showing up to help support you. Like, they're helping to support me because yeah, I am going to run a fall race. Now, I'm not going to run Richmond. I'm going to go and run the Detroit Free Press half in October.
Nice.
But I'll have done all my training. All my long runs are with people. So I'll be out in Detroit running by myself. But I know that that same morning, there are going to be hundreds of people in Richmond getting up and doing. I think they're doing 18 the day I'm gone. I looked at the schedule, but I'm not totally sure. So.
And so what's that feeling like, that you're doing a lot of this work and you're doing all this stuff with people? I'm sure that there's a both and side to that equation where you maybe feel bad that you can't be there with the team when they're doing this big long run. That's one of, you know, like I said, one of the most essential long runs when you start getting into that 16, 17, 18, 20 mile range. So you're missing that with the community, but then you're also going and you're doing a race and your support system is different maybe than what is being received at Richmond. So do you like miss that support? Does it feel different running these races alone? Like, what does that look like for you as you're racing, whether it's Detroit Free Press, Disney, Marine Corps, you know, some of these other races that you've done?
So I guess that's the other thing of, through Marathon Training Team, through 10K Training Team, through Richmond Roadrunners, through Sports Backers, through all these various things that I've like joined and become a part of because of running.
Mm-hmm.
I went and ran Fargo half 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, something. Before I left, I had people who were like, oh, such and such is running that. Oh, such and such will be there. Oh, such and such. So it's, I get to these races and Richmond is very small, but it's also very large in the same sense of like, I'm sure that there will be somebody from Richmond who is going to Detroit and running that weekend. And I will find them and I'm not going to go and find them and run the whole race with them, but I'll know that they're out there too. And kind of the drawback of me coaching is that it's very hard for me to not run and talk to people now. So I'll be out and I'm like, I'll say stuff out loud that I don't typically, I mean, I'm not saying like super inappropriate things, but I'll be like, oh, that house is really nice as I'm like running by it, because that's something I would say in Richmond. It's like, oh, look at those gardens. Oh, look at, and yeah, I'm the dog from Up of Squirrel.
Well, and I'm sure it often makes, you know, doing those races maybe a lot easier because you're someone who in their journey has found those ways to connect with others quickly, you know, really notioning on that point of what it looks like to run together in community.
Yeah. It's also one of the things of like, if they don't want to hear me talk, they can either run faster or slower and get away from me.
Now, what happens when you speed up or slow down?
Yeah. It's like, I'm not going to be the one who's like, oh, You said hello to me back. I'm going to run right next to you, regardless of how fast you run. Yeah, no, I'll talk out loud. And if you speed up to get away from me, okay, good for you. if you slow down to get away from me, okay, I'm going to keep on running my pace. So it's a helpful part of me.
Yeah. So let's fast forward to what race day looks like for a lot of these athletes. Because you talk about having that time before the start. All the coaches gather together at O'Dark 30, 5 a.m. In downtown Richmond, and you start to get plans and everything, which I'm sure have already been, you know, discussed. Yes. And you start to get all the logistics finalized, get everything together. And then, you know, what's next? Are you meeting up with these athletes before they start getting, do you help them warm up, you know? And then what is it like for you when you're on the course and you're seeing not just your MTT athletes coming through, but when you're seeing other folks who struggle?
So race day starts being planned from an MTT standpoint, weeks out. I'm not sure that somebody's not already making some sort of something. So we're told couple weeks in advance, like which sections of the course we're going to be dropped off at. We have to say whether or not we're running the first five or not. So the first five gets us to write about Mary Mumford Elementary, and that's mm-hmm. where our shuttles will all pick us up. And then they'll take us and drop us off. But before that, we've been sending emails to our team every week with nutrition, cross training, don't do anything new on race day. Make sure you've checking the miles on your shoes, things like that, like things, how to properly warm up, mm-hmm. everything so that on race day or the week of on race week, we're not telling them anything that they haven't heard before. And then race week, they get an email roughly every day from one of our coaches with, make sure you're hydrating, make sure you're eating quality meals. Cause running a marathon, it's not just, okay, I'm going to drink a bottle of water before I go out and I'm going to eat a bagel. It's, what have I been eating for the past 3 days? What have I been doing for the past mm-hmm. 3 days? What have I been drinking for the past 3 days? Like everything builds into. So we have all these emails that go out, and then race morning, we meet. Typically, we are at the James Center. With the change in the start line of the race, we have moved it around a little bit. But the James Center is good because it's right there with the Omni Hotel, and they let us use the bathrooms, which is nice. To use a real bathroom on race morning. So we meet there, we take a team picture or a couple team pictures. And then we meet as a large MTT team, which is everybody who is on MTT meets together and takes a really big group photo.
Yeah.
MTT participants are given a shirt that says Marathon Training Team on it. It's the same color as everybody else. Coaches are in bright orange. And then the shirt for the participants changes year to year of the color and the design so that we can easily pick out MTT participants. And mm-hmm. then we run the first five, then get dropped off on course. And we are looking for those shirts, and we're looking for anybody who looks like they need somebody to say, hey, you're doing great. Hey, do you need anything? And I think my first year coaching, I was running the Lee Bridge, and there was a lady, and she's coming across the Lee Bridge and she was crying.
Mm.
And I was just like, hey, how's it going? What's going on? And she said, when I opened my water bottle pouch, all of my gummy bears fell out.
Oh.
And I was like, do you want some Sour Patch Kids? And she was like, oh my, she was like, I don't want to. And I was like, ma'am, I have an entire backpack full of snacks. Like, please take the Sour Patch Kids. So I gave her the Ziploc bag, and you would have thought I gave her $1 million.
Yeah.
Because the Lee Bridge is, I mean, she still had 12 miles to go.
Yeah. I'll say about halfway.
I mean, she's just over halfway, but she still had to go through VCU, the north side, and then back through VCU to get to the finish line. So getting that little, I mean, it was a little bag of Sour Patch Kids. You would have thought it was $1 million. So being able to be out and help people all along the way, that's the bright spot for us of being there at ODARK 30 and having to be out there for 6-7 hours, depending on the day.
Yeah. And it's stories like that, because it continues to show that for this marathon training team, for this program, that Sportsbackers, and so for listeners, Sportsbackers is the race organizer for the Richmond Marathon, and they have organized this marathon training team program, but that at the end of the day, it's also like, hey, you know, we're also here for everybody who is registered for the marathon. I've been picked up a couple of times by I think half marathon training team folks, more just because, you know, I don't believe in marathons. They're against my religion. But towards the end, sometimes some of the marathon training team folks will pick me up. But, you know, even y'all will have supporters and coaches on the course, not just running, but you'll have the stations where people can pick stuff up too. So that if somebody's struggling, you know, they have a couple of supporters out there who can help them get gummy bears, get, you know, some other kind of quick snack.
Last year, there was a lady handing out Sugar Shack donuts.
Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, I'm sorry I missed that last year then.
I did not. I caught her twice. Out and back.
Oh, no, I just didn't miss her. I had to defer my registration last year, but I am coming back to Richmond this year. So But yeah. And so you really begin to see how setting up this race and setting up this opportunity for people within the community to train for the race, to grow closer together, it not only helps those people who have spent those 24 weeks training, but I think you can also see how it's helped the Richmond Marathon, Half Marathon, 8K at large. And I mean, they don't offer a training team for the 8K.
They do. But, it's not as... So it's kind of like the 10K training team where it's at various locations throughout the city. So Full is at Sportsbacker Stadium, Half meets at City Stadium, and 8K has locations throughout the city. And I want to say that they meet starting in the end of September. I could be wrong on the date, though. Don't hold me to that.
Well, and so, I mean, you see how the program itself that leads up to the 24 weeks, it extends into what is then happening on race day. And not just for the runners themselves, but for almost everybody who toes the line. Because I can think of numerous times when I've lined up at Richmond and you see the marathon training team shirts, and then you're running down and you see the brightly colored coaches around the course. You know, if your name is written on your bib, they will cheer out that name as loud as they cheer the people that they've been getting to know for the past 24 weeks. And so it's this idea of community that it's extended, not just to those who are kind of a part of this, I guess you'd call it like a medium-sized large bubble throughout the 24 weeks. Because there's, I mean, how many folks register for marathon, half marathon, 8K training teams in a given cycle?
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, you've got 50. You said Chris has like 200.
Chris has 200. So we have a little over 1,000, 1,500 people with us. I don't know what half is. 8K is massive as well. I mean, so it's a ton of us.
And I mean, to say like, it's not that Richmond is a small race. It's not by any means. I mean, it's a pretty decent sized race with.
But it's not the New York of 6 hours of start times and Boston of. I mean, we start the full. I believe.
Well, they changed it last year. Yeah.
All the corrals are started in 30 minutes. I mean.
Yeah.
We've got to get the full course of everybody through start wise. So 30 minutes, we've started our entire
group everything
of people.
Yeah.
So then they can go over and start the 8K because they switched it this year. So the marathon starts first. But yeah, to have us all out there is kind of crazy.
And it helps the overall feeling of the race because all these people are bringing this, you know, attitude and just feeling with them that they've experienced the past 24 weeks. They're ready to jump out and hit this big goal. And now they're on the course and they're lifting and helping supporting all those around them because of what they've received. And then the coaches are doing the same.
So I have a running joke on my team that I have I have a backup coach who is one of my participants who has been a participant for almost as long as I've been a participant. So if I'm not there, he's my coach. He and I look nothing alike, but if I'm not there, so I missed the first week of MTT because I was in Fargo. So it was like, okay, well, Candace isn't there. So Brian is the step in for Candace. so he and I can't be gone the same weeks. He's been told that. So he's the unofficial step in for me. He's my substitute.
And so there's
he does that on the course. He does the same thing as me on the course on race day of chit chatting with people and, hey, how's it going? How you doing? And getting our little group. So how it's kind of played out is we end up with like a little pod of people who have run together for 24 weeks. And then on race morning, we're all together because we meet at one spot. We walk over to the start line together. We are at the start line together. I run with them the first five and then I let them go. And then like they've been together for 24 weeks. So they're together on race day. They're a little pod. They know hey, Brian hates hills. Hey, Paul's going to talk about whatever, or hey, such and such lives over here, or we know these random facts and we know that these coaches are going to pop up, because we'll tell them beforehand, like, hey, I'm going to be on the Lee Bridge. Hey, Ellie's going to be on Main Street. Hey, Eater's going to be on Boulevard. Hey, Jay's going to be on North Side. So, hey, Jenny's going to be next to the Kroger on Lombardi. Like, we know where people are going to be. So they know, hey, I get through this section and Ellie's going to be up here to cheer, to talk to me. Hey, I get through this section and there's going to be Peter. Or, hey, I know this hill's coming up and my little pod's together. Or if somebody's feeling really good and they leave and they're like, hey, the guys are right behind me, or somebody's not feeling so great and it's like, hey, Brian dropped off, or hey, Paul dropped off, or hey. So like they kind of become their own little pod and little coaching subset by doing these trainings together. And then you end up with people who will join the team and they'll be new and they'll say, we'll say, hey, what got you to MTT? Because, you know, we have nothing else to talk about the first couple of weeks. We don't know them well enough. And they're like, oh, well, I was running the half last year and I just saw all these matching shirts and these coaches all together. And they, it looked like so much fun. And my friend did MTT and she said it was great. And yeah. So then they end up joining and that's how we get new people.
So well, yeah.
And like having fun.
No. And I think that that's a big thing when it comes to running, is there are opportunities where running just, it can feel like a chore. Like we have to do it. Like we have to get it in. And like listeners, like you will have heard last week from Paisley, who talked about this, you know, I have to versus I get to. I think when you do it in crowds like these, it feels like that more I get to opportunity. And it really builds up that notion of, you know, we get to do this and we get to do it together. And then it creates a space for others to kind of come in and do it too, because people are going out and they're telling these stories of how fun and how great and everything that's going on in this marathon training team. And it's one of the things that I miss when we're doing training for Shamrock down here in Hampton Roads, is like, you know, we'll get together with our little run clubs and run groups, but and it's nothing against anybody down here, but it's not a system that's in place down here. They don't have anything for it. You know, J&A has a lot on their plate. They used to have training teams, but they decided to get rid of them. And so, you know, but are there opportunities for those kinds of things? And what does it mean for us to bring that sort of spirit of community into not just the race day itself, but in the training, because it makes that race day even more awesome and it fills it with even more joy. And, you know, especially for the coaches who are willing to, in a way, kind of sacrifice what they could do to be able to come in and say, all right, I'm here, I'm helping you. And then on race day, it's even like, I'm not even running the whole race. I'm just running part of the race. I will maybe run as long as you do, but I'm going to help a lot of people in this section, of course. And I wonder how many of us listening would be willing to make that sacrifice for our community, even knowing that you've had opportunities like Fargo, like all of these other races throughout the year. And so you have had opportunities to kind of show off what you can do, but to then also say, you know what, for this race day, this is what everything is centered around. And so I'll plan my race schedule. I'll plan when I do my marathon or half marathon, I'm going to plan it around this because I want to be a part of this. And I think that that speaks more than some of the other stuff that's going on, because it shows that you want to be there. It shows that the other coaches want to be there. And I wonder how much that's seen and heard by all of those other people as they're coming in.
Yeah. So my current goal is to run a half marathon in every state before I turn 50. And I found there's some race in some state that looked really fun. And I can't remember what it is now because I'll never be able to do it because it's the same weekend as Richmond. And I'm like, I know that I could literally tell my head coach and anybody else, like, hey, I need to be gone the weekend before Richmond. And they'd be like, okay, cool. But if I say, hey, I need to be gone the day of the race, they're going to be like,
nah.
Now, they're not going to be like, no, you can't go. They're going to be like, okay, that's really tough. But I wouldn't want to. Like, I don't feel like I'm giving anything up by not going to that race or not being at Richmond, I feel like I'd be giving up the like seeing the achievement of my people. As a profession, I am a strength coach, and being able to watch my clients who are mostly high school and college athletes compete in their sport is the best part of my job. So watching these people that I've spent 24 weeks with and literally know a ton about in a very vague sense of like, we joked the other day of like, people look so much different when they're not in running clothes. If I ever walked into like a doctor's office, I know some of my runners are doctors. If I walked in a doctor's office and I saw them, it'd still take me a second to be like, oh, you actually are a doctor. You don't just wear tank tops and running shorts all the time.
You don't just play a doctor on TV.
Yeah. You don't just play one on TV. You didn't stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night. But we know so much about them. Seeing them finish the Richmond Marathon is the best part of race day for me. I had a girl last year who we were running and she's like, I think I'm going to break 4 hours. And I just looked at her. We were running down Grace and I was like, you could walk right now and break 4 hours. And she was like, what do you mean? I could see the 3:45 pacer about 30 seconds ahead of us. I was like, you could literally walk right now. We were about to make one of that last couple turns. And I was like, you would be fine.
Yeah.
Like the joy on her face, knowing that what she'd trained for this whole time, that she was actually going to achieve. That is the best part of race day for me. And that's the part that I wouldn't want to miss. That's the part of the 24 weeks that is that's the icing on the cake right there.
And when we think about what it means to be a part of a community, you know, that is it. And for those of you,
I don't feel like I'm giving anything up by spending every Sunday morning from June 1st to the second weekend in November up.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I'm getting my long runs. Yeah, I would have to do it anyway. I'm losing nothing. I'm still making it to church. I'm still making it to family events. I still make family vacation. I just leave later on a Sunday or I come back on a Saturday. I'm still making all the things. Yeah, I have to leave this early or yeah, I'm not going to go out with my friends on a Saturday night. But getting to know the people that I run with and getting to see them achieve finishing the Richmond Marathon. Cause I mean, most people aren't going to finish a marathon. Most people walking down the street are not going to finish a marathon, but I get to spend every Sunday with 60 people who will finish the same marathon.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and for listeners, I mean, you know, a lot of times it sounds like, you know, you hear it and it sounds great, but seriously, go and look on Candace's Instagram and you'll see like just a lot of the athletes that she coaches in strength training. You know, she is giving them shout outs all the time. And I think that, that's something that oftentimes when we're involved on the running side of things, we miss. And when we can see behind that curtain of what coaches are doing, of what that sacrifice looks like, it enhances that communal spirit. It encourages new people to come in and coach. And get involved in that way. And I think that that's one of the things that helps to grow our community together. You know, kind of like when I started helping out with Race Team RVA and Troy asked if I would help to coach. And I'm like, Troy, I know very little, like I know as much about running and as much as like it happens to me, which sometimes is a lot. But it, you know, the conversation broke down to it's, you know, well, these people, they need somebody to run miles with. They just need an encouraging spirit. It's like, you don't need to know, you know, how to break down, you know, a 6x1K workout for somebody to like the 10th of a second so that they know how to do it. It's like, no, they like to coach. You need someone who's going to be supporting and encouraging. A lot of the knowledge stuff, it comes by doing it. And so I think that it's often one of those things that we can sometimes take for granted because we don't recognize it and we don't see behind the curtain. All we do is sometimes is see, or the questions and things like that we have, when they get answered, you know, those are felt and those are seen, and how it builds that sense of community up just becomes such an important and crucial part of how we get on this journey together and help these people reach goals that they may have been a little wavering about for a little while. So let's hit these end of podcast questions. Candace, what is your favorite distance to run?
Half marathon.
Awesome. Awesome. Again, I'm just going to drop that poll in Instagram, because I am 100% assured that half marathon is everybody's choice, even if you like marathons.
I love to run a marathon, but a half marathon is great distance. And that's why I'm trying to do a half in every state, not a full.
Smart move. All right. What is your favorite thing to eat post-run? Your food, snack, meal, whether it's just like a long, easy run, whether it's a race, whatever it is. Candace is laughing. All right. Let's hear it.
Domino's pizza.
Domino's pizza. That's all right. I said a big old burrito. So
Domino's pizza is my go-to.
All right. All right. And then lastly, Candace, can you give our listeners a reason to go and join their local run group?
Top reason is meeting other people who will help you get out and go run. Mm. Yeah.
Always looking at it from that encouragement perspective. What a great sentiment. Thank you so much for joining us, Candace.
No problem.
All right, just another great episode filling this space with this positive communal spirit. I hope that when these guests come on and they talk about these feelings, these ideas, these understandings of community, that they resonate within you. And while you may not have something that looks like the Richmond Roadrunners and the Sportsbacker training teams in your area, I mean, what an awesome thing it would be if for some of, you know, not the major marathons, obviously those ones are a little bit more difficult, but even some of these regional marathons that we're at, what if we had this sort of support on the course, even if it's just someone who's going just even 500 meters or even just half a mile with you and is helping you, getting you through, someone who is going through this 20-week process, you know, 12, 16, 18, 20 weeks that it takes to train for a lot of these races, and they just come alongside you through this process, and then they're there on race day to support you. I think about all of those times where I've had community that has helped to back me up as I'm accomplishing some of these goals of just completing races, no matter what I'm doing, no matter where I am. And so, I mean, if this is something that you're like, holy cow, this is an amazing program, if you want to come to Richmond and experience it, the Richmond Half Marathon is in November, and it is just a fun race. I've done it numerous times now. I'm doing it this year, so you'll be able to come and see me running. But also maybe finding ways to do some of these things in your local run community as well. Maybe often find places where you can help folks train for those races. You don't need to get them through and blister them to like a 3-hour or even a 4-hour marathon, but you can help them accomplish their goals. And what an amazing and awesome thing that is for us to be able to offer to the community that is gathering around us. So as you go forth from here, I would continue to love it if you would help to support this podcast. You know, you can, it's a simple, I often say it, you can either take a second, a minute, or 15 minutes. And each one of these things, it just fills my spirit. It helps others notice how much you're enjoying the podcast. And so if you'd love to, just take a second, make sure you're following and subscribing to this podcast. You can find it on your favorite podcasting app. Just search Run, Build, Grow. Make sure you're following and subscribing so those episodes are right in your feed as we get going each week. Or you can go to runbuildgrow.com/listen. Listen to it there. I have an Apple podcast embedded player on there, as well as links to the podcast on several of these major platforms that are out there. And so go and find it there. And you know what? If you want to just take a minute and help me out, you can, while you're online, go over to Apple Podcasts or Spotify if you use one of those two. If you don't, you know, I mean, you can head over to one of them and still rate and review the podcast. Let others know how much you're enjoying it. And if you leave a rating and review, I will read it out on the next podcast. As y'all know, you know, Dat Frenchie, Chris Elliott, he is just dropping all of these great things on Spotify. And I love it. And so Chris is just going to continue to get shout outs each and every episode because I'm just loving the support that he is offering. And if you leave a rating or review, I will read yours on here as well. And lastly, just take it's not even 15 minutes, really. Actually, it might be. But if you would, I'd love it if you'd help to support the podcast and supporting me with either a one-time tip. You know, you love this episode with Candace and you want to say how much of a great job I did with this episode. You can offer a tip or you can become a monthly donor over at buymeacoffee.com/runninrev. And honestly, that helps to keep the lights on. It helps to keep the podcast going. Helps me be able to bring in and to upgrade some of my stuff. And so I'd love it if you would help to do it there. You can share this podcast. I mean, you love it so much. Just as you are out in the community, as you're running with your run club, you can say, hey, I heard this great podcast the other day, Run, Build, Grow. This guy, Andrew Ware, he's a crazy guy, but he loves running community. And so you can share it with your run club as we all grow on the run and beyond. I hope you have a great week. And remember, make every mile count.